Philippians chapter 2. I guess you probably know that by now, amen. It helps the preacher get on the same page as the congregation. All right, let's read here verse number 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the sweet Spirit of God that's already in this place. And I trust and pray here today, Lord, you could use me for your glory and honor. And I pray, Lord, that when this service is said and done, that they'll see nothing else except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would deal with that sinner that showed up here this morning. Lord, it's lost and on their way to hell. God, I pray the Holy Ghost to God might slip into their heart while we preach this message and begin to draw them and to woo them into the family of God through that Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. And Lord, I pray that you would begin to touch the hearts of the saints of God who are here and begin to stir them, Lord, and to stir up a gift of this within them, Lord, to fall in love with Jesus Christ and draw closer to you each and every day. God, may your will be done in the service. Fill me, Lord, I pray, with your Holy Spirit. Pour me out upon these people in a mighty way. And I pray, God, that the preaching here this morning be done in demonstration and power of Almighty God. And that Jesus Christ might receive the glory, for which in his name we pray. Amen. 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 I want to look here at these verses here in this section of the scriptures that we read. The Bible says that what I want to look at mainly is verse number 11, where he says, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ being our Lord. My pastor always had a sign on his truck, and he still got it, as far as I know, that said, "Allah is not my God." Amen. And I said, that's a real good sign. I like it. And it don't, you know, you really got to, you got to get close to that inner circle before you stick something like that on your vehicle. Amen. But, I said, you know, he said, "Yeah, that's my favorite scripture sign that I put on my vehicle. Said, Allah is not my God." I said, "That's all fine and well, preacher." But I said, "My favorite one is Jesus is Lord." Amen. I said, because that sign eliminates Allah, and it eliminates Buddha, and it eliminates the Pope. Amen. And it eliminates everybody else. And hey, listen, it's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the one. Amen. He is Lord. I saw a preacher was telling me the other day that he'd read this statement that one of these singer guys, he got elevated to some high position over in England, and told him, he said, "I don't want to be called something, I forget what it was," he said, "but you can just refer to me as King of Kings and Lord of Lords." I don't think so, amen. I will not refer to you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because I have only one King of Kings and one Lord of Lords, and that is Jesus Christ, God's only Son, amen. I'm telling you right now, the Bible says in verse number 10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. There's something about the name of Jesus Christ, especially, man. I mean, there is no other name like Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know, I've never in my life met anybody who was named Jesus, amen, except for this man. Down in Mexico, you find all kinds of them named Jesus, amen, and they spell it the same, but it ain't said the same, amen. Even the lost heathen world has enough respect for the name of God to not to try to imitate it in their children, amen. That name Jesus Christ is a powerful name. It's a name, friend, that you can start wars with. Amen. You can mention the name of Jesus Christ and war can break out amongst the crowd of people. I mean, after all, that's what we're really doing over in the Middle East, amen. They can say all they want to say about it being a war about the oil. They can say what they want to about it being a war about weapons of mass destruction. Amen. They can say all they want to about anything. But I'm telling you, that war that's going on over there amongst them Muslims, it's not about anything else except Jesus Christ. Amen. They hate our God. And they hate anybody who loves our God. That's what it's all about. That's what the jihad is all about. Don't be fooled by the media. It's all about Jesus Christ, amen? One of these days, there's going to be a real war. It's all going to be centered around His name. Amen? He's going to come back with His saints and step foot on that Mount Moriah over there. And, amen, the battle's going to be on. The war's going to take place. This is the name, friend, that you can not only start wars with, but you can divide families and homes with. Many times people has gotten saved and it's caused a division and a split in their home all over the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? One young lady I'm thinking about right now down in Mexico, her name is Karina, and she was about 16, 17 years old and got saved and began to grow and fall in love with Jesus Christ and come to church faithfully and love God. And man, I mean, just a real blessing to me. I mean, she's touched my heart and a real blessing to me. And she'd go home and her mom and daddy would call her brainwashed Baptist and make fun of her and wouldn't let her come to church and from time to time and all that. And it was all about Jesus Christ. Amen. It was all about being born again. That was the dividing factor. Young lady had a desire to want to make something out of her life, and she wanted to go over to Monterey and go to the Christian college that's there in Monterey and try to learn to be a school teacher so she could try and pass on knowledge to younger kids and be a blessing and a help, and at the same time learn about Jesus Christ. And her parents refused to let that girl go to college because she wanted to go to a Christian college. Amen? It's a name, friend, that'll divide families and homes. You know, this world don't mind us praying, amen? I mean, you can go out here and stand on the streets and pray all you want to as long as you don't end it in Jesus' name. In His name would be fine. In the name of our God would be fine. In the name of the Holy Father would be fine. But don't dare say in Jesus' name, amen. Because then you're going to get in trouble. That's when they're going to get mad. That's when the fire is going to start to get fueled. And it's not over your prayer. It's not over your God. It's over Jesus Christ. They do not want the name Jesus mentioned. Amen. But there's something about that name. Jesus Christ is Lord, verse 11 said. One of the most powerful statements in the Bible. Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 9 said, when he began to talk about Jesus Christ being highly exalted, he said, wherefore? In light of the fact that Jesus Christ, in verse 5 through 8, in light of the fact that he was in the form of God, but thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, why is it that that name is so powerful? Why is it that God's exalted him? Why is it that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me? Why is it that he is the preeminence in our lives? Why is it that our focus should be on Jesus Christ? It is because, amen, wherefore, because of what he did on the cross of Calvary, amen. Well, in light of the fact that he's the Son of God, in light of the fact that he's God manifest in the flesh, in light of the fact that he walked in a sin-filled world in a perfect sinless body, in light of the fact he went to the cross and gave his life for me and for you, in light of that, God also has highly exalted him. Amen. It wasn't because God decided to reach down and pick out a guy and put his finger on. No, it was in light of what he did for mankind, whom God had created to be his fellowship, in light of all what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. That's why God exalted him. Amen. That's why his name stands out. So I read this, and God began to stir my heart about the name of Jesus Christ. It's bad enough, friend, to preach about the person of Jesus Christ. It's bad enough to talk about the person of Jesus Christ. It's bad enough to pass out the tracts about the person of Jesus Christ. It's bad enough to stand on the street corners and promote the person of Jesus Christ. But what about that name? The Bible didn't say in verse number 10 that at the person of Jesus Christ every knee should bow. No, the Bible said at the name of Jesus Christ. So there's something about that name. I mean, that name that just comes off of our tongues, there's something about it. There's more power in that one name than in any other single word known to man's vocabulary. Something about it. So I thought, Lord, why is that name so special? And I began to wrestle around some things in my heart and in my life, and I found out through replaying my Christian life in my mind that even as a born-again, blood-washed saint of God, I at one time had a hard time saying Jesus Christ in public. I would mention the Lord. I wouldn't mind talking about God. I wouldn't mind even saying my Father, but Jesus Christ seemed like it just didn't really roll off my tongue right. And so I would omit and in place of it put the Lord. Now, let me say this before I go any further. If you often say the Lord, I'm not putting you down any at all because it's actually in the Bible. Amen? I know it's hard to believe, but it's in there. But when you study the word Lord, and here's what I'm trying to point out the difference to you, and trying to preach on Jesus' name this morning, that's the only reason I'm saying all this, but when you study the word Lord in your Bible, that is a generic term. Sometimes it refers to God the Father. Sometimes it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it refers to the Holy Ghost. It is a generic term that God uses for the whole Godhead, the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's a generic term. It could mean any of the three. Now, I know they're all the same, but yet they're different. And I don't expect you to understand that no more than I do, but I do expect you to believe it, amen, because it's Bible. So when we just say, Lord, we're not narrowing the thing down, you see. But when we say Jesus, now we got it narrowed down. Now all of a sudden Jesus is different than just saying Lord. Amen? I mean, after all, your Lord tonight may be your television set. Amen? Your Lord may be that job you're going to punch in the morning. Your Lord may be that vehicle in your parking lot. Amen? Your Lord may be your home that you worship. Your Lord may be anything else, but Jesus is a whole new ballgame. When I mention the name Jesus, you know who I'm talking about, amen? And you know who I'm talking about, and you know who I'm talking about, and it's all the same guy, amen? But when I say Lord, his may be different than yours, and yours may be different than hers, and hers may be different than his, and you see what I'm saying? Depends on what your opinion of the Lord is. But when I say Jesus, now we're getting down here where we all understand what I'm talking about, amen? So I began to think, and I said, all right, Lord, why is Jesus so important? Why does it matter whether we say Jesus or not? Why does it matter whether we end our prayers in Jesus' name? Why does it matter whether we say Jesus is Lord? Why can't we just say Lord? Why can't we just say God? Why can't we just say Father? What's so special about that name? Many times in the Old Testament, you study through your Bible, you find out people would name their children a name for a specific reason. Amen? I mean, this person's name was named this because of so-and-so, and I named my child this because of so-and-so, and I named them this. I mean, their names meant something. Nowadays, all we do is reach into a pot
I think what we do when we name our kids nowadays, amen, is we get one of those Scrabble boards and we get all those letters in a bowl and we chuck them up in the air and we just write down everything that lands face up and we come out and say it the best way we know how. And that's our kid's name, amen. I mean, Sally's dead and gone, and Sue's gone, and Joe's gone, and John's gone, and Paul, and, you know, basic names, they're gone. I mean, we got to have something wild and crazy, amen. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just pointing out the difference in the Bible times and nowadays. But names used to mean something. So I thought, what does the name Jesus mean? Why is it so special? Now, I want to play tonight on simply, or this morning, on these two things. Two names, Jesus Christ. Just like my name is Keith Woodby. This is Gary Piet. Two names, all right? And I understand we may have three, we may have four. You know, some people have five. But let's just focus on two, amen, because that's generally all anybody else knows. All the rest of that stuff's ink on paper, amen. We won't really go by none of it except for two names. So what about Jesus? I thought about it in light of my name. What does my name mean? When I walk into a crowd and people find out that my name is Keith, what does that say? What is the significance of telling somebody, "Hi, my name's Keith"? What does it matter to you what my name is? What does that tell you when I say that? What does it mean when I say my name's Keith? And what it does when I tell you, "Hey, brother, my name is Keith. Nice to meet you." What it does in his mind, he's automatically thinking about my life. He's not thinking about anybody else's life because the name of Keith brings him to my life. Amen? It's talking about me and it's talking about my personality. It's talking about my vehicles, my home, my lifestyle, my clothes, my way of doing things, my haircut, everything about me. Amen? It's all about me. That's the way it is with Jesus Christ. See, when we see that name Jesus, and that's the reason why that the religious world don't like Jesus, amen, is because when you say it's Jesus, you're talking about Him. You're talking about His life. You're not talking about any other. You're talking about Him, amen. And it's all about Jesus Christ. And when we find out and we talk about Jesus and we get down to the root of the matter and look at His life, we find out He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." So automatically He eliminates all the other religions that say baptism's the way to go. He eliminates the word salvation, amen. He eliminates the church membership. He eliminates the power of this and the power of that. It's all about Jesus now, and they can't come up with their own way. And that's why they don't like Jesus. Because when they say Jesus and they begin to think about His life, they realize that it's all about Him. It's nothing about me. And I can't get to heaven any other way except through Jesus. That's the only way I'm going to get there. He said, "I'm the door. Any man entereth in by Me," amen, "it's the only way you're going to get in is through the door. The door is of no use," amen, the song that Gary Duty wrote says, "unless on earth it's hung." Right. Amen, you can set a door leaning against a wall all you want to, and it ain't going to do a bit of good till you hang it in the doorway. And Jesus Christ was hung on that cross at Calvary to make a doorway to heaven, amen, paved the pathway with the blood of His righteousness. And listen, the only way we're going to heaven is through His blood. So when we say Jesus, the reason why the Catholics don't like it is because it eliminates Mary. Amen? You look at Jesus' life in this Bible, you will not see any glory to Mary. You will not see any means of her getting nobody nowhere, amen. It's all about Jesus, and He eliminates her. When we say Jesus to the Catholics, the reason they get mad, it's because it eliminates the church, amen. It eliminates that great harlot church, amen, that's going to be built, amen. You say, "Why are you so hard on them?" Because you're so close to purgatory, that's why. Amen. You know Purgatory Road's just right up 146 here, don't you? So I know you got to be infiltrated with the Catholics like crazy. But Jesus eliminates all that stuff, you see. There is no other option now. When we say Jesus, it's no longer the Pope, it's no longer Mary, it's no longer the church, It's no longer Joseph Smith. It's no longer Marietta Baker or whatever her name was. It's no longer any of the Mormons. It's no longer anything else. It's just him, amen. There's nobody else. It's just him.
It's all about Jesus. So, preacher, that's simple to understand. I understand it's simple, amen. But that's about as far as I get. Ain't nothing wrong with the simple things. Be a blessing to you. So he said Jesus, but he didn't stop there. He said Jesus Christ is Lord. And I thought about that. I thought, why Jesus Christ? Why not just Jesus? I mean, man, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread, amen. How can you improve on Jesus? Amen. How can you improve on the only way? How can you improve on the door? How can you improve on the one who hung on the cross and gave his life for our sins? How can you improve on the miracles that he did? How can you improve on the greatness of Jesus and his life? See, here's the thing. When I walk up to this fella and I say, my name's Keith. But now my name's Keith Woodby. Now there's a whole new ball game now, right? Now I'm giving something else to think about, all right? Now, Keith draws attention to me and my life. It points to the things that I've done. It points to the thing, my testimony, my walk of life. What have I done and what have I not done? But when I say would be, now all of a sudden it goes back to my daddy. And it goes back to his daddy. And it goes back to his daddy. You understand where I'm going? And it just keeps going. Now when I say my name is Woodby, it's not only just about me, but it's about my whole father's home. Now I'm going to be held not only to my own standards, not only to my testimony, but I will answer to my daddy's testimony. If I had a dime for every time I went into some store or someplace, and they found out that my name was Keith Woodby, and they asked me, are you Arthur's son? If I had a dime for every time they did that, I wouldn't have to work it again, amen? You could just keep your offering this week. It wouldn't bother me anything at all, amen? I'd have plenty of money to go around. Matter of fact, I'd just give you one. But see, when I tell them my name is Woodby, see, I'm automatically associated with him. And not only just him, but that testimony, that attitude, that opinion of what a would-be is. I got an answer for that now. Give you an example. Me and my wife, we started seeing one another when we were in the seventh grade. And she come home, her mom and her stepdad knew that she had a boyfriend and no big deal. And she had a picture of it, of me, and had it laying there on the table. And on the back, you know how mamas do. They always write on the back her name and age and what year it was. You know all that stuff. And my mama done the same thing. And it was laying there on the table. And everything was fine. I mean, I had never met her daddy. No hard feelings, none of that stuff. Amen. Everything was just rocking along just fine. Until he reached down and he flipped that picture over and he saw on the back that it said my name was Woodby. And his attitude changed immediately. He threw it down on the table and he said, you can't have nothing to do with him. He's a Woodby. Now I hadn't done anything to the guy. No harsh words, no nothing, amen. We were getting along just fine. I'd never even met the guy. All he'd ever seen was a picture. But all of a sudden, because of my last name, I'm now an outcast. I'm now somebody that she can't have anything to do with. And all of a sudden, I'm being blamed for something that I didn't do. But you see, that name associated me. And in his mind, he got a quick flashback of all the Woodbys that he knew, and he got an overall view and a picture of that testimony and what kind of crowd that was and who these people was, and he knew right off the bat he didn't want his daughter involved with that mess. But had I done that? Did he think about me? No, he didn't think about me. It had absolutely nothing to do with me.
But it was all about my family name. So when I walk into a place and I introduce myself as Keith would be, when I say Keith, they think about my life. Amen? But when I say would be, it's a different ballgame. Now they think about my family. You see, we could be in a congregation. I don't know if we are this morning. But we could have more than one Keith in here. There could be somebody else in here of the name of Keith. And so when you say Keith, you could not only mention my life, but you might could mention yours. But see, when I throw the would be in there, it separates me from you because of my father. So when we get to Jesus Christ, and we begin to look at Jesus Christ, amen, when we say name of Jesus, our minds go back to Him and what He did on this earth and how great He was and the miracles He performed and how He died on the cross to save our souls from hell and to shed His blood to pay the penalty for our sin. But when we say Christ, amen, we link Him to God the Father. We say He is no longer just a good man. He's no longer just a prophet. He's no longer just a man who died on the cross. He is now God manifest in the flesh. He is now the Son of God. So now Jesus not only has to live up to His reputation, but He has to live up to His Father's reputation. And the Bible said that God is holy. Amen. So now anything He does now is reflected on His Father. Anything He does now is tied to His Father. Amen? And not only to His Father, but to His children. The life He lives is to His children now. The life that I live, amen, and the testimony that I make around this country, and the next would-be that comes along, amen, will answer to what I did. Guilty or not guilty. Right or wrong makes no difference. That's the way the world works. Jesus Christ, when you say that He's Christ, you're saying He's God. You're saying He is the manifest in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. He is, the Bible said, Emmanuel, which is God with us. So it's not just all about Him, but it's about His Father. It's about the Creator of the universe. It's about His holiness. It's about His righteousness. See, we got false religions in this world, church, that have you believe that Jesus Christ was a good man. They'll have you believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet. They'll have you believe that Jesus Christ was a great miracle worker. And all of that's true. But I'd have you know Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
He is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the only begotten Son of God. So not only now is He the way, but He is the God. He's not only the way to heaven, but He is heaven. Amen. He's not only the way to God, but He is God. You understand this morning that God is holy? We can say God is love. We can say God is wrath. We can talk about all the attributes of God and no doubt there is many, but there is one that stands out and that is He is holy. God the Father has always been holy and He always will be holy. God the Father has never tolerated sin. And He never will. Jesus Christ hung on that cross at Calvary. When He was dying for our sins, He cried out, said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let me tell you why He forsook Him. Because the Bible says that He took that handwriting of ordinances that was against us and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. At the cross at Calvary, they didn't just nail spikes into our Savior, but they nailed my sin, and they nailed your sin, and they nailed everybody else's sin. And when that sin got dumped out on Jesus Christ, the Holy God the Father said, I will not look upon it. Even if it's my son, I won't have anything to do with it. Amen. And turned His back. Let Him die.
God the Father's holy. Why do you think there's a judgment seat of Christ that we're going to face one of these days?
Right.
You think that's just so Jesus Christ can get off on a little bit of fun, amen, of torturing us with a fire to try all our works? Do you think all that's about rewards, amen? That's just the side effect of that thing. That thing's all about, oh, Jesus Christ can present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, amen. Because behind that judgment seat of Christ, that throne of God, there will be no bad works enter that place. There'll be no unholy spots and blemishes. There'll be no wrinkles, amen. It'll be pure, unadulterated, untainted holiness of God. That's all that's going to be there. That's why we got to go through that judgment seat of Christ. Because God knows that even though we're saved by the blood of Jesus, even though we've been born again, there's still things in our life that we're just too stinking stubborn to get right with God. So he's going to have to force it on us at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to have to take care of all that stuff, get it all washed up, get it all took care of, so he can turn around and say, all right, here you go. Here's your church. God's holy. So see, when we say Jesus, we all know, we understand that Jesus was 100% man, but he was 100% God. Amen? When we say Jesus, we're talking about the man. We're talking about his life. We're talking about his miracles. We're talking about what he'd done for us. But when we say Christ, we're talking about God. We're not just talking about Mary's son. We're not just talking about Joseph's stepson. No, we're talking about God's son. We're talking about God himself. So now, we've come, when we say Jesus, we eliminate all the rest of the world. But when we say Christ, we eliminate even him himself. And say it's all about God. You understand it? That John the Baptist was a forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist came and he came out of that wilderness there saying, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Behold the Lamb of God. And he always pointed to Jesus. And Jesus Christ always points to his Father. Always points to his Father. Jesus Christ got down there on his knees in that garden of Gethsemane and he said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. If it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Jesus didn't want to have to do all this. Jesus would have just said God took care of it all. But he knew it wasn't that way. He knew he was going to have to do it. So he said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus is saying, Father, you're greater than I am. Not my will, but thine be done. So when we say that Jesus Christ is Lord, what are we really saying? We say Jesus, we're eliminating everything else in this world. When we say Christ, it's all about God. It's all about God. Stop and think about it just a minute. How did the world get here? Where did we all come from? The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was God. Where's the beginning at? I don't know. But if you can find it, God will meet you there. In the beginning was God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen? It's all about God. This is not our world, church. You understand that? This is not. These are not our homes. These are not our cars. This is not our world, it's not our church building, and it's not our life. It's all about God. It's always been about God, and it's always going to be about God. It has nothing to do with us. We're just strangers and pilgrims on a journey. We're just vessels, some of honor, some of dishonor. It's not about us. See, our problem is we say, well, it's my life, I'll do what I want to do with it. You're wrong. Never has been your life and never will be your life. You either belong to the devil or you belong to God.
You either do what the devil and sin tells you to do, or you do what God tells you to do. But it's not your life. If we could just ever understand, it's not about us. Lost people come into a congregation and they sit down and somebody goes to preaching about Jesus Christ, and if the Holy Ghost does begin to deal, they begin to weigh out the consequences and the pros and cons. Well, if I get saved, I'll have to do this, and I'll have to do that, and I'll have to give up this, and I'll have to give up that. But if I don't, then I'm not going to get to go to heaven, and I'm not going to be a child of God, and I'm not going to get... Listen, there is no pros and cons. There is nothing to discuss. It's not about those things. It's about God. He's holy. He's righteous, and you're not. Thanks to Adam and Eve, we are sinners, born into sin, on our way to the devil's hell, and deserving of it. And when the Holy Ghost of God begins to stir in your soul, whether you need to be saved or not, it's not about that. It's about God. God created you for His pleasure and to have fellowship with you. And sin has separated you from God Almighty, and He wants you back. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to make it possible. So what is there in a name? What does the name of Jesus mean? It means a whole lot of things. But it all ends up being God. The Bible said, "Wherefore God also hath not only exalted Him, but He highly, highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name." There's none other name like the name of Jesus Christ. None other. But here's what He said. Verse number 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. You will. You listen carefully to me this morning. You will bow to Jesus Christ. I promise. If you want to write it down, I'll sign it and I'll date it. I guarantee you, you will bow to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know when that'll happen. And I don't know where it's going to happen. I hope it happens right here, right now. But that's your choice. You don't have a choice this morning to understand this. You don't have a choice as to whether or not you bow to Jesus Christ. When the Holy Ghost of God comes to your heart this morning, if you come in His place lost and undone without God on your way to hell, you don't have a choice whether you come to God or not. We play that thing out and it seems that way to us, but that's not really the choice you make. The choice you're making is when you're going to bow. Because you will bow. The Bible talks about that great white throne judgment and that lost stands before Him. And He begins to look through that book and see if your name's written in that book. When He finds that blank space where your name ought to be, and He says, "Nope, their name's not here." He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I promise you, you'll hit your face, amen. And I promise you, you'll begin to cry out, say, "Lord God, forgive me. Lord, I didn't know. Lord, I didn't understand. Lord, if I'd have just had one more chance. Lord, I intended on getting saved. I was going to do it the next night at a revival meeting. God, if you'd just give me one more chance." And He'll say, "I never knew you." But you'll bow. You'll bow. So I'm going to ask you now, when are you going to bow? This name of Jesus Christ demands that we bow. When are you going to do it? You say, "Well, I'm saved, preacher. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood. I'm on my way to heaven, and I know without a doubt." You're still going to bow. You're still going to bow. You're still going to have to give it all to Him. If you don't bow now as a child of God, you live your life any old way you want to, you live for God when you want to, You go to church when you want to. You read your Bible when you want to. You pray when you want to. You do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. Amen. You'll stand at that judgment seat of Christ. And I guarantee you the whole time you're in line waiting on your time, your head will be bowed. You'll be so filled full of shame. You'll stand there and you'll see those come up before Christ. Amen. And you'll see their sin brought up. You'll see their evil works brought up. You'll see their evil motives brought up. And you'll know in your heart, when I get there, mine's going to be worse. Mine's going to be more. I'm ashamed. Lord God, don't call me next. Amen. You'll be hanging your head in shame, waiting on your turn at that judgment seat of Christ. I don't know how all that's going to play out. I really don't know. There's a lot of speculation. But I promise you this, you won't be looking forward to it. Because you know, in your heart of hearts, because of how rebellious you've been, you know that when you step off into that fire, you're going to be left standing in the ashes. You're going to be left with nothing. And then all that church is going to bow at the feet of Jesus Christ, take those crowns off, and cast them at His feet. And all you're going to do is bow and weep, because you don't have one to cast. We're talking about a name which is above every name. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Will we stand this morning? Piano player, can I get you to come and play something softly on the piano, please?